Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? People haven't changed much. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation. You know what they thought? They thought Jesus would get up and say, well, finally, you jerks have learned something. And finally, I don't have to tell you what to say to someone that's doing the wrong thing. You figured it out. I'm convinced they fully expected Jesus to applaud them. They had indignation. Another record has it that Judas was their spokesman. They had indignation. They got mad. These protectors of the wrong use of your money. These watchdogs over the way people give their money to God. They had indignation. To what purpose is this waste? They were still of the world. John hadn't yet said to them, or Jesus hadn't yet said to them in John's gospel, receive ye the Spirit. They were still natural men. These are the same jerks that would argue with Jesus about the crucifixion. These are the same jerks that, in spite of what Jesus had taught them, would figure that his whole mission was a failure and would flee in fear when he was crucified. These are the same jerks that hadn't understood a thing he'd said about taking up a cross and following him. It's this kind of jerkiness that we teachers have to remind ourselves of occasionally. That will always exist in the natural man until spiritual eyes are aroused and spiritual nature is implanted. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But when you have the Spirit, same chapter in Corinthians says, you have the mind of Christ. That's the issue here, the mind of the world versus the mind of Christ. Now, the prince of the power of the air would like to totally monopolize television as the primary feeder of the mind in today's world. Up to you. If you want to turn television over to those vacant heads who receive not the things of the Spirit, neither can they know them. It's up to you if you want to bow to this world's view. Jesus said, I hope you got it memorized, if you were of the world would love his own. But you're not of the world, for I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Here's one that Jesus chose out of the world that responded, and his worldly disciples had indignation. They obviously did something that the disciples were not willing to do. Talk about familiarity breeding contempt. What are you doing here? You're stupid to be here on Friday night. There's partying to be done, families to be related. Rest the old fleshly machine so it can play hard tomorrow. What are you listening to me for? Turn on one of the networks. Take a dose of sex and violence and stupidity. If you were of the world would love its own. But when his disciples saw it, well, let's start over. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And poured it on his head. And poured it out. As he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They immediately had a real possessory interest in this woman's alabaster box with ointment. Oh, it was in her hands, but she didn't know how to use it right. She probably was on Social Security. She needed a protector. They got mad at her, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Shrivel now, little woman. Get intimidated, little woman. Say, oh, I'm sorry. I should have thought this through a little better. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Let's reanalyze the purpose in giving. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Oh, the love of the poor that people exhibit for your money. How many people have got their projects that improve upon the waste of pouring it out on Jesus? When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Get off her back. Get your cotton-picking nose from between her and me, and your grasping fingers, and your stupid natural brain, and your asinine worldview. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you. What a callous view. They ought to have crucified Jesus right then and there. Here's absolute proof. that anybody's a fool to listen to Jesus. They'll send him to Siberia. Such a callous view from the Creator of the universe. For you have the poor always with you. But me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. In the whole world. Does that include Los Angeles? San Francisco? Birmingham? New York? Think they're included in the whole world, or are they somewhere out in space? Too hot in here. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. The two sides of the Great Commission. How faithful has the church been to this? Faithfully failing. Totally intimidated in encouraging such waste. Totally under the dominion of this worldview. Totally under the dominion of the asinine disciples. Totally under the dominion of those that cannot receive the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. Now, as I said, one of the gospel records says Judas was the one who complained. V. Raymond Edmond once said, circle the thens and theirs of Scripture. They're very significant. Then, immediately upon Jesus' declaration, put this woman's gift to me on equal billing, on the marquee. Jesus died to save sinners. This woman shows the right response. Give me equal billing. God giving his son, that's the gospel. Respondees giving of their best. Wasting it. No purpose. Like charitable care of the poor. Waste. The eternal word become the living word, become the spoken word, become the dying word, the law incarnate, to remove its bondage. And she anointed that burial. And in her freedom, joyously gave her best. In another one of the passages recording this, Jesus says, when you've been forgiven much, you love much. The world doesn't think it needs to be forgiven. It has God on trial. Doesn't even know it's already been tried and convicted. Immediately upon this command, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him to you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, this alabaster box incident, from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. If you want to smoke the Judases out, get on the subject of giving. It'll do it every time. Now, the church is in crisis right now. The Judas spirit is exalting itself. Some recipients of the alabaster box have not acted right. So what? You're given as a testimonial of value to the Word. It's gone. The sum total of the benefit of the act is in the giving. Purposeful use of it is irrelevant. That's what this week's about. Can those that have been taught right rescue giving from under the boot of the world that's indignant about it? That's what we're about. We've had several occasions in the last 11 years to be like Esther. Stand and be right because God placed us here. I don't know how to, in words, tell you the importance of what we're doing right now. To an onlooking world, we're the only ones on this subject, not on the defensive. Well, we read in the previous half hour in Matthew 26. Now, let's try Mark 14. Must be something very significant when Jesus' action in this regard are reported in each of the four Gospels. Puts it in some kind of priority. Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. A spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. They just boiled. Why do they boil? Who's in their business? It was the woman bringing the ointment. And they had indignation within themselves. They just boiled at it. Every night, as we teach on giving and you testify to the value of God's Word and eternal things, there are people that just boil. You know, you don't hear much from the woman. She was the winner. I want to ask her when I get to heaven. It's going to give you a little bit of satisfaction to know how you made them boil. You really put it to them, honey. They had indignation within themselves. Do you ever want to really make the world mad? Just as a way of getting them, give it to them. Yeah. Stick it to them. Give them ulcers. Well, that's your choice, you know. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You can live under the fear and intimidation of the world all your whole life. Did you ever have an enemy that was always taking advantage of you, and you finally got a chance to really put it to them. Huh? You drive down the road, you feel 10 feet tall. You want to pop the champagne. Well, you think about them just grinding in their gut. I love it. These know-it-all jerks that want to cast you in their image, encroach upon your rights and your freedoms to do what you want with your money. I know you can make them boil. You can go to sleep tonight knowing you made the world mad. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. One little woman with an alabaster box of spikenard ruined the party. Made them all mad, or some of them. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? There we go. If you were of the world would love its own. And Jimmy the jerk's up there trying to do his number, and Jerry the fat trying to find a way to please the world. And a little lady comes in and just undoes it all by giving. World doesn't care what you do with God as long as you don't do this. I hate the world. If you catch Paul's view, he says, by the cross of Jesus Christ, I was crucified unto the world, and the world crucified unto me. It's a despicable thing. Their view is not partly wrong, it's all wrong. And they can't ever get it right. Some that had indignation within themselves. Can't hardly finish teaching this. I want to give you the opportunity to make them mad. And said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Here they go. You don't know how to handle your money. You jerks. Bunch of jerks in here. Jerks out there. There's a song for you, Ron. Make 'em boil, make 'em boil. Some that had indignation. Why was this waste of the ointment made? They never saw it till she brought it in. But they suddenly were impassioned by it. For it, the ointment might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always. She hath done what she could. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I'm going to ask it again. How many preachers and churches are faithful to this commission? Don't just tell what God did, giving his son. Tell what this woman did. given her best in response. As I said earlier, people giving will always smoke the Judas out. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. That's what this is all about. Well, let's read Luke 7. But the Pharisees and lawyers, nice little bunch, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God within themselves, literally being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They're like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you've not danced. We've mourned to you and you've not wept. Sounds like the news media. What shall I liken the men of this generation that have rejected the counsels of God? Like children sitting in the marketplace, belly aching because they can't have as much influence as men of God on some people. See, Jesus had said earlier, blessed is he that's not offended in me. But they were offended. Then he explained what jerks they were, because they've been criticizing him. He said, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come eating and drinking. You've got to be an absolute fundamentalist fool to not know that in the illustration here, he's contrasting himself with John the Baptist, so drinking means what John didn't drink. Drinking wine. Now, there's a piece of news for you. Jesus came eating and drinking wine. John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he hath a devil. Son of Man is come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. They got to screw loose the world. They really have. The masses are asses. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Not everybody sees it, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them, his feet, with ointment, with the ointment. That's a little different. Is this the same incident? Well, we'll see. Let's just take it by itself, and I'll come back and talk about it if it's the same. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. I'm telling you, I haven't taught on reincarnation for a long, long time, but Jerry the Fat almost convinces me that it's a valid doctrine. Here he was, way back there. And And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, the creditor frankly forgave them both. Now tell me, Simon, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast rightly concluded or judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Do you know what the news media, local 6 o'clock news, would do with a video of all that? Have you got it memorized yet? If you were of the world would love its own. But you're not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. Are you free men and women or wimps? You don't let the jerk heads tell you what to do? My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That's what's wrong with the world. They don't really think they need to be forgiven. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Who got the best deal? His feet or her? Huh? And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves. They're always criticizing within themselves, just boiling. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? He ignored them. Masses or asses. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Well, he translates this giving into what it really is. Thy faith has saved thee. This wasting of the ointment in the view of the Pharisees was an act of faith. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Cessation of againstness. There's nobody against you that counts. Pharisees are, but nobody that counts. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Of course, you know, that going right out the gate. The world doesn't believe that. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, try selling that to the world. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Now, we're getting down to the nubbin of it. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Let her alone. Who are you going to listen to? Judas? Or Jesus? That's your choice. There's a crisis in giving in the church world. And those that would crucify Christ betray him and sell him out. Do you think Judas would have done this if he thought Jesus was going to raise from the dead? He had the natural worldview. He didn't believe in eternal things. He wanted here and now, including the cut he'd steal from the skim from the bag. He was the typical church treasurer. Nice ash. They smoke cooler when you have a nice long piece of ash on them. Tempts me to keep smoking and let it fall. Who are you going to listen to? Now, for some years, we have characterized the alabaster box as the gift of that most precious thing that you have. I haven't talked about it for a long time. Every year, I used to ask the people, several times, at least once in your Christian experience, you ought to sit down and say, what's the most precious thing I have? Do I love the Lord enough to give it? Some people think they can't give. Baloney. You don't just have to give money. You can give land, you can give houses, you can give horses, you can give jewels, you can give coins, you can give stamps. That's the alabaster box giving that we have focused in on. But tonight I'm teaching it more generally. That conflict between the worldview and the one who has been forgiven much understands our faith has saved us. And for that light being turned on by the word, we testify to its value by giving our best. And make the world mad while you do it. Malachi. Page 1025 if you got a Bible like mine. It's really hard to keep God's people on the track. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, you're always ready to argue. You know, can you see God carrying on his dialogue with some little squirrels that stand up and bark at him? I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Answer. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. Right there, we got problems with the world's view. They check out on God right then and there. God hadn't got a right to make choices like this. Ain't fair. That proves right there you're stupid to serve God defined in this way. Right? God can't be God and do this. The commitment to tithe. Do this. Because my definition of God precludes such favoritism. I hated Esau. God's a God of love. He can't hate anybody. I won't let him. Well, he did. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. What a thing for a God of love to do. There are times I like a God like this if I can figure out who he should hate. But he makes the choices. Well, but that's Israel. Well, my Bible, the New Testament, says that men and women of faith are the true Israel. Oh, he still has national promises for them just because, for his word's sake, he'll keep it, even though they don't deserve it. But faith places us in a deserving recipient of all the promises of Israel, Christ. If he'd keep his word to these ungrateful, arguing, sassing kids, how much more he will keep it to Christ, and we're in him. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I'll throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. That'll be their reputation. Lord hates them. God, I wish I could pick the ones that God would do this with. You've got to get it in your head that the world is in no position to define God. They don't really believe in a God anyway. They like to play God and create one that moves at their bidding. Performs like a puppet on their string. And their creative powers are encouraged by you worshiping at their shrine. I hate the world. I'm a genuine sociopath in that sense. You're looking at an original. If the world has its way, they'll destroy the church. Well, this same God said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in the councils of heaven, he selected those that will make up his kingdom. And when the light shines by you, you have a chance to prove that you're a member of that group. You can't act it out. You either are or you aren't. A son honoreth his father, he says in the sixth verse, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? God asking that question. And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Not me. Wherein have you loved us? Well, jerk. I haven't treated you like those that I hate. Wherein have we despised thy name? Well, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Your actions speak your contempt of the table of the Lord. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Well, I don't want any tips for God. Save your tips for the car hop. And the waitress. Don't give God second-rate treatment. Thank God I don't get many $5 offerings anymore. I ain't interested in them. I don't want your nickels and dimes. Yeah, well, that's all I got. Well, that's different. With the $5 will be a commitment to tithe of everything else you get. Don't tell me you're living on $50 a week. What, I mean, a month or a year? What are you, bag lady? Now, purpose in doing this is I'm leading up to something. The kind of people that God gives second chances to. I'd already killed them. By the third argument, I'd have killed them if I'd have been God. These blind jerks, so centered in themselves, they not only are evil, they just blind themselves to their evil. If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Give the governor a blind cow. Give the governor a lame sheep. It's income tax time. Let's see what I got that I don't like. And take it down to the tax office. Got that old junk car laying out in the back. Just pay a tow charge and haul it down to the post office and say, it once was worth something. Won't pay my taxes with it. Try that on the IRS. Some of you got extensions. You're going to pay, but you got extensions, but you still had to send some money. How many are going to trust you to come up with it? They'll let you wait to give them the detail. If you give them payment now, estimating your taxes, and then they'll charge you interest on the wait. How many of you have been able to treat the IRS during tax season the way you've been treating God? You've been having big luck at that? I just can't afford it. When I get a little more on my feet, I'll pay taxes. Try treating the governor the way you've been treating God. Try treating the IRS the way you've been treating God. It's been a bad year. God only asks for a percentage. That's all it IRS asks for. I wonder what happened if every king's house, all 40,000 of them, sent me a copy of their income tax return. Said, here, Pastor, calculate the tithe on my income tax. And here's a blank check already signed. Fill it out. We wouldn't have to worry about paying the air bill in Texas, would we? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now, we ain't going to get anywhere if you don't think about this. Is God deserving of a lesser stewardship than the government? Well, yeah, but the government can send me to jail. Well, you know, fear not him that can destroy your body. Fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. If you were of the world would love its own. They don't believe in either one of those, soul or hell. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Offer it now unto the governor. Go out tomorrow. Try it out on the governor. Just have a new idea. I got some worn out clothes and some worn out shoes and an old car that won't run anymore. I want to give you this for my income tax this year. It's been a bad year. You fix them up. Well, you know. Use the clothes to clothe the homeless and use the cars, you know, save some money out of the education budget. Send these old cars around, let kids dismantle them, put them back together, they can learn auto mechanics. Just listen to me, Governor. I'll tell you how this makes sense. Now, I've had some problems this year. I'll pay taxes next year when I'm a little better fixed. Now, I don't think you ought to assess the tax on my home this year. If I fix the roof, I'll give you the shingles I threw away. See if he'll be pleased. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. From your hand will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. They've been giving God the rejects, the leftovers, what they didn't use. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I ain't dependent on you, jerk. That's what God's saying. From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Get it in your head. I'm not dependent on this. You just got the wrong idea about how to go about it. You're the loser. You've profaned it. In that ye say, the table of the Lord's polluted. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. It ain't new for people to get tired of giving God his part. I mean, it's awful to have to get up every day and say, the Lord of hosts, who gave himself for me, owns me and all that I have. And he reminds me every day that my right to use the balance is based on giving him his part first. That's what I hate about Christianity. Why doesn't God just give us everything without the strings? Now, sometimes, Scott, you just make me hate God. Would you rather have him hate you? Like he did Esau? Well, I work for my money. Who gave you the health you got? I got kids to feed. Who gave you those kids? You'd have a retarded, helpless child someday. So you can appreciate what God did to give you the good ones. Oh, wait a minute. That's just poetry. If you were of the world, the world will love its own. They don't believe any of that comes from God. Deuteronomy says it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. So when you get it, don't forget he gave you the power to get it. This is mine. Spirit of Nabal. David, the type of Christ, sends 10 young men, says, share what you've got with me. Didn't even remind him that he had interceded and spared his flocks in some wilderness incident. Nabal said, shall I give of my flesh and my bread and my sheep? Stupid jerk, he was an heir of Caleb. An heir of Caleb who had the faith to go in and claim the promise. And didn't get killed in the wilderness like the rest of them. This jerk thought it was his. Behold, what a weariness is it. You can't go to heaven on past performance. It's an everyday renewal. I don't like it. I'm do what I want. Okay, take the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, second chapter, I'll even send a curse upon you. And I'll curse your blessings. Yeah, I've cursed them already. Behold, I'll corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. Now there's one for you. When in the world is God going to get around to doing that? I'll spread dung on your faces. King James sort of softens it. We know what God's going to do. Well, I don't like what you're laying on me, God. Splat. That makes me feel almost as good as making the world boil that I was talking about a few hours earlier. I'm going to read that again. Behold, I will spread dung upon your faces. Oh, I can't wait to see that happen. Wouldn't it be something that happened on national television? Too cold in here. Leave me alone a minute. I got to just relish that. Do you realize what I've been trying to do all week? Get you in a position where God won't have to spread dung on your face. Boy, old Jimmy the Jerk and Jerry the Fat look good with a big old wad. There's a great equalizer for you. They'll all look alike. Verse 17, ye've wearied the Lord with your words. Me too. What's the list today? Just not involved anymore. No job, no money. Drop me, please. Tired of money raising. You said, what a weariness it is. Complains about the teacher, not the Bible. Which one you reading? Broke. Tired of horses. You know, that I'm sports minded. Another one quit because his house burned down. Wait till the dung hits him. Boy, this house cleaning is long overdue. Chapter 3, but who may abide the day of his coming? That's the question. Now, if you were of the world would love his own. They don't believe the world has to face the coming of the Lord. When he's going to ask the question, will I find faith in the land? Who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? These are a bunch of jerks. But look at God. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Even these sassy jerks, he opens the door of returning. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Well, it starts always right there with your pocketbook. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Isn't that wonderful? This bunch of jerks still get a chance to return. All they got to do is quit robbing God and give him what already belongs to him. How many times did Jesus say you must be born again? Same number of times that about 50% of the behavioral traits of Christianity that are based on Jesus' sayings were said. Over 50% of the things that the church tells you you must do because Jesus said do them, he only said it once. That's enough. Jesus said, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. If Jesus said it once, isn't that enough? Huh? Oh, I ain't going to do it just because he said it once. If he didn't say it 15 times, I don't believe he meant it. You must be born again. He only said that to one person, too. Didn't say it to the whole crowd. Now, has anybody suggested that that's not part of Christianity? He didn't say it often enough to enough people. Yet people say Jesus didn't teach tithing because he only said it once. Most of them don't know he said it once. Over half the things that Christians do based on Jesus saying do it, he only said it once. Isn't once enough when Jesus says it? Huh? Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. That's where they want to focus in. I think every single Christian knows you've omitted the weightier matters. Well, he also said concerning the tithe, these ought ye to have done. That's enough. He didn't say it's okay to do it. He didn't say, you know, those are things that you didn't have to do. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These ought ye to have done. No equivocation at all. Now what are you going to do for that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Did Jesus approve tithing? Sounds to me like he did. That sucks in an awful lot of scripture. First tithe, second tithe, third tithe. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse where ye eat, where you get your spiritual food. And prove me now herewith. Now that's the subject all week. I want this ministry supported with tithers. That's God's way. It's always been His way. Never came up with a better way. Now let's get on with the doing of it. Music. What are you going to do with Jesus' command? You non-tithers? You going to go to heaven and say when you get there, well, I didn't know. Well, now you do. Now you do, without excuse. Oh, he said it. It's repeated. Luke 11. You Pharisees, ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, these ought ye to have done. Oh. Why did God let that be repeated? There are some other things very important to Christianity. It's only in one gospel. Like born again, it's only in John. John 1, born of the Spirit, born of the blood. And to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit, not the same as that which is born of the flesh. Only John talks about that. But here, Matthew and Luke both get on his tithing kick. Ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. These ought ye to have done. Why couldn't Luke soften it a bit? Tithing was not approved of by Jesus. What are you going to do with this? Huh? Do it. Riverside says any preacher that won't teach tithing is a spineless fool. San Rafael, I sure feel the teaching, the tension. When he starts teaching on tithing. Whittier, thanks Doc for having the courage to teach God's word without compromise. I think it's time to teach on Mark 4. Concerning Jesus, and he began again to teach by the seaside. Pleasant setting for a painful subject. Eye itches. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, when I was in Sunday school, they always loved to have pictures of this. Every person who grows up in Sunday school knows Jesus sat in a boat and taught in the sea. Because there's always a picture of that. Nobody ever told me the devastating news he delivered in that pleasant setting. He taught them many things but parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Now I'm going to go to the end of it and read you something. First, no, I won't save that. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed seed, some fell by the wayside. That word means a beaten down path. People walked on it so much it's like pavement. Nothing penetrates. Everything's crossed their brain. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it hadn't much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now what a strange statement. Everybody in here has ears. Doesn't everybody have ears? He acts like there's some who do and some who don't. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I was born with ears. What a strange saying. I don't blame these disciples. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. What do you mean? He said unto them, unto you it is given. It's a gift. I've talked about the gift of teaching. There is another gift. Gift of hearing ears. Gift of seeing eyes. I didn't think the Lord was very good to me. I mean, I've been sitting listening to you teaching about all this tithing business and all this, and Lord hasn't been very nice to me. I don't really think I owe him anything. Of course, I understand what he's saying. I thought I was born with that. I thought my mommy and daddy gave me that ability to be penetrated by the truth. I thought I was born with that. Like the ability to chew food. God, everybody's got a jaw, a mouth. Unto you it is given. Appearance is not reality. Everybody that has ears can't hear spiritual things. Now, I've been talking about God's gift to you all week of a teacher. And I've been talking to you about the blessings that God gives people. He giveth you the power to get wealth, you that have it. There is no gift that God gives you like the gift of hearing. Way back in the councils of heaven, you're one of the lucky ones. Well, wait a minute now. God, no respecter person. That's a bunch of it. That's crock. I just read to you earlier. Wherein hast thou loved me? Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. God makes choices. Yeah, some of you would be glad for choices. Nobody would have married you otherwise. You turn somebody on. Miracle of miracles. Vice versa. Some things just don't happen. Oh, I'm so weary with this tithing and weary with giving. I've worn myself out because I'm responsive. Unto you it is given. You'll never have a gift in this life to match the gift of a spiritual ear. The very same words that caused you to respond fell on deaf ears to the thousands that listen and don't respond. You respondees, you're the gifted ones. Put it in perspective, folks. I've been so busy just giving myself out. I forgot that this response I have is because I'm one of the gifted ones. If you're of the world would love his own. God loves a hilarious giver. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Think the world knows that? But unto them, without, that's the world, they're without. All these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. Whosoever will, I thought. That's right. The whosoever's who will. We're down to prevenient grace again. The initiative starts with God. To those that are without, things are done in parables that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Some of you God doesn't want. You've been sitting there putting God on trial, saying all this doesn't make sense to me. You just designated your spot in the kingdom without. Oh, of course, Jerry the Fat, he's going to go on Nightline and try to make those that are without see. Going to explain the parables. God was wrong. Jerry's going to bring a whole ragtag band up there and say, no, I made them see, you couldn't, but I did, now you let them in. Here's Ted now. I made Ted Koppel see. If you had spent a little more time explaining God, they'd have seen. I didn't want them. I don't want you either, Jerry. There are some that I don't want to be converted. I don't want to forgive their sins. They're without. I never heard of such a thing. We're supposed to convert the world. Where did you ever get that idea? God's in the business of saving some out of the world, and Jesus said there'd be few. Few there be that go in thereat. You better get your perspective right. Understand how lucky you are. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? You ain't going to know anything if you don't know this one. This is the key that unlocks them all. God's choosy. You better go out and walk around your house tonight, around the block, if you live in the right kind of neighborhood. Otherwise, just stay in your house. Get in your car and drive around. And thank God you're one of the chosen. You see. You hear. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Corinthian letter says God called you to be saints. God calls the saints out of the world that have eyes and ears that he gave them as his gift, the gift to hear and see. And then he gifts teachers to those hearing and seeing ones, that these gifted teachers might take those who hear and see and mature them, bring them on to completion. Better get this whole deal right. This ain't no competitive endeavor. This ain't no salesmanship pitch. You're in no position to evaluate. You either got it or you haven't. We're finding a lot of them didn't have it. One of them said, I don't teach the Bible. He's a big-eyed wonder boy. He can really see, can't he? The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart, just like water on a duck's back. Doesn't penetrate. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. But then you get down to the tough times like now. Get called by my staff. You mean business or not? They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are the ones that don't make it. Which category you fit in? These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. There we go again, that competition. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Why does that have to be put in here? God ruins every message he preaches by getting around to money. The deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, desires is the word, of other things, entering in. Somebody called the other night and said, boy, you're right. I began giving to God hilariously, and he not only met my needs, he met my wants. I liked it so well, I quit giving. And started enjoying it. It was a repentant message. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things entering in choke the word. They become unfruitful. My Lord God of mercy. A third of the ground's gone. No, three of the four is gone. Three-fourths of the ground's gone. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. Who are they? Unto you is given to know. To hear. With ears that hear. Such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. If there is, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, Let him hear. I wonder how many listening to me tonight have really thought on the fact that your ability to respond is a gift that God gave you that sets you apart from most of the world. The gift of hearing, the gift of seeing. You better get on the phone and testify with gladness. God doesn't want most people. God makes sure he doesn't get most people. I thought it's because they didn't like me. I'm feeling so good I can hardly stand myself.